of a restaurant, look at a menu and go, I have no preference.
Senate will be in session. Members and guests, please rise for the invocation by the chaplain of the Senate and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
If you pray, please pray with me. God, you recorded this story for us in Acts. While visiting Athens, the Apostle Paul saw an altar dedicated to the unknown God. Most likely with a twinkle in his eye, he confidently declared to the Athenians, "What therefore you worship as unknown, I proclaim to you." God, after describing the wonders accomplished by you, Paul articulated your goal in creation and history that we, quote, should seek you and perhaps feel our way toward you and find you. Certainly Paul's eye twinkled as he concluded, yet God, you're actually not far from each one of us. Curious, in the midst of all this assurance, there's noticeable uncertainty, perhaps. We will feel our way toward you and find you, perhaps. In God, elsewhere, Paul used perhaps with you, God may perhaps grant them repentance leading to a knowledge of the truth. God, would you make these perhaps reality? I humbly pray in your name. Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Secretary will take the roll.
Mr. President, 50 members are present.
Quorum is present. Senate is ready for business. Senator Conair.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to be off and out for an introduction, please.
Minority Leader Conair.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I would like to introduce someone who has spent a lot of time in this building. He has spent 24 years in the Senate, 8 years on the PSC. He works, continues to work with conservation districts up in the Northern Highline area up there. And he is on the St. Mary's and Milk River Advisory Council, the great and wonderful former Senator Greg Jurgensen.
Welcome to the Senate. I have to say I'm a little nervous with him watching over us. We better know our rules. So, Senator O'Brien.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to be off the record, out of the record and off the journal, or vice versa,
Senator
for
O'Brien.
An introduction. It is with great delight that I introduce my niece and the same person, is the Deputy Press Secretary for our Senator Steve Daines of Montana, Rachel Dumke.
Welcome to the Senate. Senator Temple.
Thank you, Mr. President. We had a great loss. The gentleman, David Armstrong, who did the founder of the Race to the Sky, that's one thing he was known for. But back in 1943, he trained dogs at Camp Remney, and he's the last living person that did that. And over the time he was training dogs, there was over 850 dogs that they trained, and they also trained 100 packs of dogs that worked with these people, along with training the people to train these dogs. So maybe just a slight moment of silence for thank you.
Members. Thank you. See no further ones. Oh, Senator Esp, there you are.
Mr. President, may I be off the record now of the journal?
Senator Esp.
I see an old friend up in the balcony over here. I think my eyes aren't what they used to be, but I think it's former Speaker Bob Bergeron and his lovely wife.
It is. Welcome to the Senate. Without objection, we'll go to order of business number 11, special orders of the day. Senator Hertz.
Members of the committee and Mr. President, it's an honor today to read a proclamation from the state legislature. This proclamation of the state legislature recognizes Colleen K. Brady. Colleen dedicated her life to kids and defending their potential. She will be forever remembered as a fearless leader for Big Brothers, Big Sisters, for her community. Colleen was born in 1955 in Havre. Was so proud to be from Big Sky Country, so proud of many of her family members' lives and contributions to Big Sandy community, where she grew up and graduated from high school in 1973. So proud to be an aide to Senator Mike Mansfield's office in Washington, D.C., and so proud to be the first female student body president at Carroll College, where she earned her bachelor's degree in political science. Colleen lived a big life, always a big smile, big heart, big energy, big passion, big ideas, big commitment to the missions, and even bigger dreams to many organizations she served and or led, including Elwood High School in Madison, Wisconsin, Dominican High School in Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin, St. Mary's Academy at Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, Cincinnawa Dominican Congregation in Cincinnawa, Wisconsin, the Academy of the Holy Names in Tampa, Florida, and most recently, Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Helena and Great Falls, Montana. Colleen wanted every young person she encountered in her career as a teacher, a principal, a president, a CEO, a community leader, a youth advocate, to have the access to opportunities that they needed to succeed. Building STAN, named in her recognition and many of her accomplishments, but most importantly, in her appreciation and deep gratitude for all the lives she touched. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the 67th Montana Legislature, that the members of this body dedicate the 22nd Annual House and Senate Legislative Basketball Challenge in honor and memory of Colleen K. Brady, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Hertz. Senator Sweeney.
Mr. President, can I be off the record now to the journal for an announcement, please?
Senator Sweeney.
Mr. President, body, I would like to read the results of the fundraising for the House and the Senate, the Big Brothers and Sisters. The House collected, both of these are amazing, $2,850, or no, let me change that, $3,475. The Senate, $4,819. So, bringing home the trophy, which we have not had since 2007. So with the other donations from different corporations and lobbyists, the grand total, including the $400 that this good senator from Bozeman just gave me, he was hustling the halls out there working the lobbyists, everybody, the grand total that we delivered to the Big Brothers and Sisters of Great Falls and Helena is $16,694. So that... We'll be willing to do anything to keep out of basketball trunks. Thank you. And I'll have a page if you can run this up to Maryland, please. Thank you.
Thank you to Senator Hertz and Senator Sweeney and all the members that contributed and all the staff and everybody out in the hallway. So finally, we get to win one of them. So thank you. Go back to order business number two, reports to standing committees.
Mr. President, we are committed to Business, Labor, and Economic Affairs. Report that House Bill 445 be concurred in. Senator C. Fitzpatrick, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on Energy and Telecommunications. Report that House Bill 475 be concurred in. Senator Dwayne Ankeny, Chair. Mr. President, we are committed on Judiciary. Report that Senate resolution be adopted. That House Bills 517 and 578 be concurred in. And that House Bill 230 be concurred in as amended. Senator Keith Regeer, Chair. Mr. President, your Committee on Local Government report that House Bill 450 be concurred in as amended. Senator Terry Gauthier, Chair. Mr. President, your Committee on Taxation report that House Bill 397 be concurred in. Senator Brian Hoven, Chair. That is all, Mr. President.
Without objection, the committee reports are adopted. Without objection, we'll go to order of business number three, reports of select committees. Members, we had a number of bills dealing with marijuana and the implementation of I-190. in consultation with the minority leader. It's my decision to appoint a special committee to work through that. So I appoint the following members: Chairman Senator Ellsworth, Vice Chair Senator Small, Senator Fitzpatrick, Senator Brown, Senator Vance, Senator Howard, Senator Friedel, Senator Bogner, Vice Chair of the Minority, Minority Leader Konauer, Senator Morgio, Senator Jacobson, and Senator Lynch. So Chairman Ellsworth is working on a room and time. I think they're going to start next Monday. There will be some educational time frames to start before they hear the pieces of legislation. He does welcome any member that wants to be involved in the discussion. He will know the timing so that you can be involved in that as well. So we'll go to order business number four, letters from the governor. Oh, Senator Sands.
Panyon here. Is that a joint committee you're appointing?
You almost got me there. I'm too serious today. Anyway, and we don't want to get me laughing again, so. Thank you, Senator Sands. Order business number four, letters from the governor.
Dear President Blaisdell, on Thursday, April 8th, I signed the following bills: House Bill 13, Konauer; House Bill 38, Gothier; House Bill 53, Wellborn; 75, Solomon; 109, Solomon; 115, Regeer; 126, Regeer; 128, Fitzpatrick; 152, Hovind; 154, Small; 170, Carey; 200, Sands; 205, Hovind; 262, Cuff; 276, Cuff. Dear President Blaisdell and Speaker Gault, in accordance with the power vested in me as governor by the Constitution and the laws of the state of Montana, I hereby veto Senate Bill 227, an act generally revising the Montana Administrative Procedures Act. Sincerely, Greg Gianforte, Governor. That is all, Mr. President.
Order by business number five, letters from the messages from the other house.
Mr. President, I'm directed by the House of Representatives from the Senate that on this day, following House bills were on this day, were three several times in past, tied in history greeter, and here was transmitted to the Senate for concurrence. Four pages. And that the House of Representatives, they acceded to the request of the Senate and has authorized the Speaker to appoint a free conference committee to meet with a like committee from the Senate on House Senate Bill 300. The Speaker appointed the following members: Senator Logie, Senator Hinkle, Senator Novak. That the House of Representatives this day acceded to the request of the Senate and has authorized the Speaker to appoint a free conference committee to meet with a like committee from the Senate on Senate Bill 354. The Speaker appointed the following members: Representative Usher, Wrigley, and Bishop. Sincerely, Carolyn Cheetah, Chief Clerk of the House.
Order business number six, first reading and commitment of bills.
Mr. President, Senate Rose Russell since 9899, many, many, many House bills have been introduced, read first time, referred to committee. House Bills 279, 670, 701, and 707, 686 have been introduced and read. House Bill 702 has been referred to committee. That is all, Mr. President.
Order business number seven, second reading of bills. Majority Leader Smith.
Mr. President, I move the Senate resolve itself into a committee of the whole for consideration of business on second reading.
Heard the motion of Senator Smith. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. I appoint Senator Brown, Chairman of the day.
Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you have before you for your consideration Senate Resolution 95. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
SR 95, introduced by Regeer, a resolution of the Senate of the State of Montana concurring, confirming, and consenting to the appointments to the Montana Board of Crime Control made by the governor and submitted by written communications dated March 11th and April 6th, 2021 to the Senate.
Are there any corrections to the history and title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Resolution 95. What is your pleasure, Senator Regeer?
Mr. Chairman, I move that the nominations transmitted by the governor be concurred in and confirmed by the Senate in accordance with Senate Resolution 95. Mr. Chair.
Senator Regeer.
Members of the Senate, the Board of Crime Control provides grant funding and data for safer Montana communities. Since 1968, their federally directed role is to facilitate planning within the criminal justice system. They are to identify crime prevention needs, promote public safety, and strengthen the performance of the criminal and juvenile justice system. It's governed by an 18-member board appointed by the governor and has a staff of 18 that's based in Helena. And if you look at that list of people, I think most of us know at least a few of them that are on there. If you have any questions about any of them, I have their bios here, so I would urge an approval.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing no discussion, Senator, would you like to close? The Senator has closed. As many as are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators having voted aye and 0 having voted no, Senate Resolution 95 has passed. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 449. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 449, introduced by Garner, a bill for an act entitled Act Revising Laws Regarding Electronic Monitoring as a Condition of Pretrial Release, creating a rebuttal presumption that electronic monitoring be composed as a condition of pretrial release when an offense involves felony partner or family member assault, strangulation of a partner or family member, felony stalking, or felony violation of an order of protection, amending section and providing an effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Section 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 449. What is your pleasure, Senator Regeer?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 449, that it recommends same be concurred in. Mr. Chair.
Senator Regeer.
Members of the Senate, House Bill 449 would have the courts impose electric monitoring as a condition of pretrial release when an offense involves felony assault or strangulation of a partner or family member, also felony stalking, or a felony violation of an order of protection. The defendant is liable for the monitoring cost. An amendment in committee gives the courts the option of electronic monitoring or alcohol monitoring. There was a murder last year near Whitefish that involved a woman who was living with her 3-year-old and 8-year-old daughters. Her divorce was about to be final from a man that had repeatedly abused her. She had filed 3 orders of protection against him and believed he would someday try to kill her. He did. He stabbed her, the 3-year-old, and a friend and tried to come to her rescue. All 3 of them died. Had the perpetrator had an electronic monitor, it could have notified the authorities and the victim that he was in the area. House Bill 449 has the judge in control of the decision to require monitoring. It places the burden on the offender to explain why they shouldn't be released with a monitor. Mr. Chair.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing no discussion, Senator, would you like to close? The Senator has closed. The question now rises on the motion of Senator Regeer that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 449, it recommends that the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators having voted aye and 0 having voted no. House Bill 449 has been concurred in. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 539. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 539, introduced by Usher, a bill for an act entitled an act generally revising laws related to county attorneys, revising when special counsel may be employed, limiting when the Department of Public Health and Human Services is required to report allegations of child sexual abuse or child sexual exploitation to a county attorney, revising the timing of reporting to the Attorney General, and amending sections.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 539. What is your pleasure, Senator Sands?
Mr. Chairman, I move when this committee does rise and report, having under consideration House Bill 539, that the same be concurred in. Mr. Chairman.
Senator Sands.
Members of the body, this bill is about the role of county attorneys in prosecuting child sexual abuse and child sexual exploitation. As we know, it's far too common a crime in our communities, unfortunately. And when we do have a case where there's adequate evidence to prosecute, it sometimes becomes fairly difficult, particularly in our smaller counties that may have one FTE as a county attorney or not. In some of our smallest counties, they're sharing an FTE with someone. So in addition to their other duties, they need help. And so what this bill does is a couple of things. One is, I think a lot of you know that currently we do rely to some degree on the AG's office for expert help in prosecuting cases of sexual assault. This also gives the authority to boards of county commissioners to authorize the hiring of a special counsel to work on this case, hopefully then having a more successful prosecution. So that is one of the things the bill does. The other is that we were interested in Law and Justice in getting a report on this, that the Attorney General will report to Law and Justice about the number of cases that are being successfully prosecuted and the outcomes of those, so we can look at issues of allocation of resources. That's what the bill does, Mr. Chairman. I'd ask for a green light.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing no further discussion, Senator Sands, would you care to close? The senator has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Sands that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 539, it recommends that the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of this motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Gross? She's voted.
Senator Gross has her thumbs up,
oh.
Mr. Chair.
Thumbs up.
Excuse me.
Excuse me. I apologize, Mr. Chair. Thumbs down.
Thumbs down. I with my mistake. I'm sorry.
Mr. Chairman, 49 senators vote aye and one senator votes nay.
With 49 senators having voted aye and one having voted no, House Bill 539 has been concurred in. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 479. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 479, introduced by Sullivan, a bill for an act entitled an act providing warrant requirements for third-party electronic data, providing notification requirements, amending sections, and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 3.
Members of the committee, you now have before you have before you House Bill 479. What is your pleasure, Senator Bogner?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration House Bill 479, that I recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Bogner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the body. If you remember back to about a month ago, we heard Senate Bill 203, which is constitutional amendment, that made it clear that your personal electronic data and communications are protected from unreasonable searches and seizures from the government. House Bill 479 is the complement to that bill, and it addresses third-party data privacy and warrants. What is third-party data? It's the data stored by third-party vendors. So that's cloud storage, messages on your social media, any photos you store online. So this bill updates our code to make clear that a warrant is required before a government agency requests copies of your personal data from a third-party vendor and that they delete it after they're done with it. Pretty simple, yet a very important protection, and I would appreciate your support. Thank you.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing no discussion, Senator, would you care to close? Senator has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Bogner that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 479, it recommend that the same do be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the votes.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
With 50 senators having voted aye and 0 having voted no, House Bill 479 has been concurred in. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 501. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 501, introduced by Trevis. A bill for an act intended to revising criminal laws related to trespass, providing that failure to wear a face covering or carry proof of vaccination may not be considered in the crime of criminal trespass, amending section and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 501. What is your pleasure, Senator Regeer?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 501, that it recommend the same be concurred in, Mr. Chair.
Senator Regeer.
Members of the Senate, the title of House Bill 501 explains the bill. A failure to wear a face covering or carry proof of vaccination may not be considered in the crime of criminal trespass. The virus issue of the last year has made for some unique situations. Healthy people being quarantined, economies shut down, and often a cure worse than a disease. House Bill 501 is an effort to protect personal medical information and personal health choices, Mr. Chair.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Senator Gross.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and senators. We have another bill here taking aim at the ability of local and state governments to protect the health of all of our community members, including those most vulnerable to contagious disease. On line 24 of the bill, we see amended language that says a person who enters or remains in a public place paid for in whole or in part by taxpayer dollars cannot be charged with trespass. This language is overly broad, and in committee, the question could not be answered as to whether this language would preclude a private property owner or private business who receives an SBA loan, for example, from taking action against someone who does not respect that property owner's right should they choose to require preventive health measures on their private property. This bill would apply to any public space where all citizens should have the right to enter and access public services, regardless of whether those citizens are susceptible and vulnerable to contagious disease. We should be protecting the rights of citizens to access public services, whether it be registering a vehicle at the local DMV, registering to vote, entering a courthouse for trial, or even going to the post office. This overly broad language about taxpayer dollars also means that any healthcare facility receiving governmental grants would have no immediate recourse to a sick person entering a long-term care facility, for example, unmasked and bringing with them the potential to sicken elderly or disabled residents and the healthcare workers that care for them. We need to be honest that in the midst of a global pandemic, sometimes it's necessary to take steps to protect our neighbors and fellow citizens. This is a bad bill that is unfair to vulnerable Montanans. It is unfair and confusing for property owners and their rights. This is a bad bill, period. Please vote no once more on an overly prescriptive and overly broad bill.
Seeing no further discussion, Senator Regeer, would you care to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, before 2020, you had the flu, you stayed home. If you had the flu and were out in the community, I mean, that wouldn't be trespass. It's a unique situation we've gone through in the last year. On one side, you have government control to the point of tyranny to some people. On the other side is personal freedom. I would go on the side of personal freedom. Vote green.
The question now rises on the motion of Senator Regeer that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 501, it recommends that the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 30 senators vote aye and 20 senators vote nay.
30 senators having voted aye and 20 having voted no, House Bill 501 has been concurred in. Senator Smith.
Mr. Chairman, I move to pass for the day House Bill 450.
Without objection, so ordered. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 423. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 423, introduced by Lentz, a bill for an act entitled an act generally revising laws related to screening newborns for genetic or metabolic disorders, creating a newborn screening committee, requiring the department to add new conditions to the newborn screening panel when certain conditions are met, providing rulemaking authority, and amending section.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Section 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 423. What is your pleasure, Senator McNally?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 423, that it recommend that the same be concurred in, Mr. Chair.
Senator McNally.
Mr. Chair and committee members, this bill does exactly what it says in the first two lines of the title. Generally, revising laws related to screening newborns for genetic or metabolic disorders and creating a newborn screening committee. By way of background, the sponsor of this bill got involved with this topic because he has a relative who suffers from a very rare genetic disease that was not diagnosed. It's a child, was not diagnosed at birth, and is basically fatal without certain interventions, which this child didn't get. So that's where what is referenced in some of the whereases. And so when the bill came to the our committee, the health committee, it was very focused on just a certain few rare genetic diseases. And we ended up working with the sponsor and amending it so that it's more global. It's not just targeting these potential five, but it would be screening for more broadly for different types of genetic diseases. So some of the key language is on page 2, lines 21 through 24, that says that this committee will, in fact, be making recommendations to the Department of Public Health, where the committee will be located, using federally recognized national standards for newborn screening. So they'll be screening for whatever is being recommended more broadly by national experts. And they will also put some emphasis, per the sponsor's wishes, on giving priority to at least looking at Krabbe disease, which is what Representative Lenz was particularly interested in. But we basically sort of made it less specific, more broad, set up a, I think it's a 12-member commission to make recommendations and put in some procedures for genetic screening for infants as they see fit. So that's essentially what the bill does, and I would urge a do concur.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Senator Regeer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question for the sponsor.
Does the sponsor yield?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, Senator, the screening, do you have any idea what that's like? Does it involve a blood draw, saliva swab? What does screening involve?
Well, generally, from what we heard, it does can involve just like a prick, a little blood sample out of the heel, for example, of a newborn infant, and then they can use that for screening for different things.
Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, Senator McNally, would you like to close?
I close.
The senator has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator McNally that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 423, it recommends that the same be concurred in. As many as in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators having voted aye and 0 having voted no. House Bill 423 has been concurred in. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 276. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 276, introduced by Cafaro, a bill for an act entitled an act adding 2 certified behavioral health peer support specialists to the Board of Behavioral Health, incorporating behavioral health peer support into the Board of Behavioral Health duties, and amending sections.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you have before you House Bill 276. What is your pleasure, Senator Glimm?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise in a report after having had under consideration House Bill 276, it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Glimm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. This is a bill that is pretty simple. We just maybe a session or two sessions ago, we added peer support specialists to be able to work in this field. And they are under this, the Board of Behavioral Health, and they didn't have any representation on that board. So the bill was brought to give them a voice on that board, and they wanted to have 2 of those on there. In committee, we didn't really want to grow the board, so we shrunk the board just a little bit in some of the other areas and kept the number of board members to 9. But I think it's a good bill.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Senator Small.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to stand up in favor of this bill. It's extremely important as we're setting these boards up to actually have the entities involved with them, have some stake in the game. That way they can kind of control their destiny. So I'd urge everybody to go along and support this bill today. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, Senator, would you care to close? The Senator has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Glimm that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 276, it recommend that the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators having voted aye and 0 having voted no. House Bill 276 has been concurred in. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Joint Resolution 8. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
HJR 8, introduced by Garner, a joint resolution of the Senate and the House of Representatives of the state of Montana requesting an intern study of Montana's public employee retirement systems and the development of recommendations for a long-term strategic approach to funding the retirement systems, recognizing the concerns of all stakeholders, including the citizens of Montana.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Joint Resolution 8. What is your pleasure, Senator Fitzpatrick?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had in consideration House Joint Resolution 8, it recommends the same be concurred.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would also like to thank my friends on the State Administration Committee for assigning me this resolution. I think the title really says it all. I think we all know that pensions, as long as I've been here, and I'm sure as long as into the future, are always an issue. Funding them, the correct the amount of the benefits and how we're going to pay for them in the future is obviously going to be a major issue, and this is what this study intends to do, to sit down and take another look at our pension system and see if there's anything we can do to improve the longevity of the system. So with that, I'd ask for your support.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing no discussion, would the senator care to close? The senator has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Fitzpatrick that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Joint Resolution 8, it recommend that the same be adopted. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 49 senators vote aye and one senator votes nay.
49 senators having voted aye and one having voted no. House Joint Resolution 8 has been adopted. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 300. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 300, introduced by Schillinger, a bill for an act entitled Act Generally Revising School Transportation Laws, authorizing the use of 8-passenger to 15-passenger vehicles for transportation of students to and from certain events, and providing an effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 3.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 300. What is your pleasure, Senator Manzella?
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 300, that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Manzella.
Mr. Chair, members of the Senate, this bill does exactly as the title suggests, and it allows 8 to 15 passenger vans to be used to transport students to certain events. Not to be confused with being used as school buses on a regular basis, but this would just be for extracurricular activities. And we feel that it's an issue of economics for the school. And local control, it offers more local control to the school board trustees on this issue, and the bill was collaborated on with OPI, and it came through our committee 13-0, and I asked for a due pass.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing no discussion, Senator, would you care to close? The Senator has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Manzella that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 300, it recommend that the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators having voted aye and 0 having voted no, House Bill 300 has been concurred in. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 462. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 462, introduced by Stromswald. A bill for an act entitled Act Revising Laws Related to Learner Licenses, requiring certain duties to be performed by a responsible adult when a parent or guardian is not available, amending sections and providing an immediate effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Section 1 through 4.
Members of the committee, you have before you House Bill 462. What is your pleasure, Senator Friedel?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 462, that it does recommend date be concurred in.
Senator Friedel.
Mr. Chairman, this is a pretty simple bill. If you read the title, it tells you everything. What this essentially does, if you look at line 27 on page 1, it allows licensees to, especially when they're awarded to the state, to be allowed to use any person above the age of 18 to be allowed to help them get their learner's permit.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing no discussion, Senator, would you care to close? The Senator has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Friedel that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 462, it recommends that the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote. Oh, Senator Heinbach.
Mr. Chairman, 47 senators vote aye and 3 senators vote nay.
With 47 senators having voted aye, 3 having voted no, House Bill 462 has been concurred in. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 188. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 188, introduced by Logie, a bill for an act entitled an act generally revising electric vehicle laws, defining electric vehicle, providing for an annual fee on electric vehicles registered in the state, providing for a fee on electric vehicles operated in the state itinerantly, providing for disposition of the fees, amending sections, and providing a delayed effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 5.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 188. What is your pleasure, Senator Glimm?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 188, recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator Glimm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. The free ride will be over when we pass this bill. So this is about electric vehicles and getting them to contribute to our HESRA account. HESRA account is the account that funds our highway construction in the state of Montana. And up to this point, so the HESRA account is, of course, funded by gas tax. And electric vehicles don't use gas in this bill. Fully electric vehicles, so hybrids aren't included. We didn't tackle that task yet, but just fully electric vehicles are included here, and so we set up a fee structure for them. First of all, one of the things that was in the title was an annual fee, and we scratched that because if you keep driving an electric vehicle, you should have to keep paying your fee for it. We did amend it in committee. And we did amend it in committee and upped some of the rates because the rationale that was used to try and come up with these numbers was basically I thought the average was a little bit low on miles driven in the state of Montana. And a couple reasons against that, I think the average Montana drives a little bit more than what the average we are using. So that was one factor. Another factor is if you're driving an electric vehicle, you're probably doing that because of the economy of it, you're probably driving a little bit more than an average person anyway. Another factor is that weight is a significant factor in wearing out our roads, and electric vehicles generally weigh heavier than a gas counterpart. So what we set up here is that a regular car, less than 6,000 pounds, I think is the delineation there. Annual rate is $250 for a truck, which is in excess of 1 ton to 26,000 pounds will be $400. And then you're talking a big truck, over 26,000 pounds, $1,500 a year. And then the line 22 on page 24 for motorhomes is $450. So this just gets us into charging electric vehicles so that they're paying their way. And it's a little bit of equality. And I think it's a good start. And we'll go from there. So I encourage a green vote.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Senator Bennett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to rise in opposition to House Bill 188. I think that we can all agree that, you know, the way that we fund our roads and bridges here in Montana is with our gas tax, and we're all on board with the idea that because electric vehicles don't necessarily use gas or use very limited amounts of gas, You know, they got to pay their fair share. And as you heard the carrier say, you know, he put a lot of thought into this. He put together a plan where he looked at the average amount of miles that are traveled by people here in this state and the average miles per gallon, and put together a formula that says, in general, people are paying about $140 for the average car worth of gas tax. And he rounded that up, put $10 more on there, and made it $150. And all the automotive groups were like, you know, that's fine. That works for us. And then we got to the committee, and they just decided pretty arbitrarily that they just wanted to double that number, essentially. I mean, just slightly less than doubling it for no reason whatsoever. So the result of that, in talking with the automotive groups, is that Montana will now have the highest taxes on electric vehicles in the country, which I think is something that we rarely like to be known for here in Big Sky Country. So I hope you'll vote against this. You know, it started as a good bill and ended up with being a very problematic bill.
Seeing no further discussion, Senator, would you care to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would. It's not arbitrary. The estimation that was used for the original $150 was 12,000 miles. I think the last time I put 12,000 miles on a vehicle, I was a junior in high school. So I explained some of the other reasons that they should be paying a little bit extra. So I think this is a good start. Green light, please.
Question now arises on the motion of Senator Glimm that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 188, it recommend that the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of this motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 29 senators vote aye and 21 senators vote nay.
29 senators having voted aye and 21 having voted no, House Bill 188 has been concurred in. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 365. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 365, introduced by Trevis, a bill for an act entitled NEC, revising motor carrier rate regulation, repealing the Class B motor carrier classification and related requirements, amending sections, repealing section, and providing an effective date.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Section 1 through 18.
Members of the committee, you have before you House Bill 365. What is your pleasure, Senator McGilvery?
Mr. Chairman, I move when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 365 that it recommend the same be concurred in.
Senator McGilvery.
Mr. Chairman, what this bill does simply is repeal Class B motor carrier classifications and related requirements. So if you turn to page 6 of the bill, it's all right there. We're just repealing Class B. That's taxi services. Since the invention of, or the invention, I guess you would say, of Uber and Lyft, there's certainly Class B taxis are not, by any stretch of the imagination, a monopoly anymore. So therefore, there's no reason for the PSC to regulate them. So we just repealed that section. Thank you. Vote green.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing no discussion, Senator, would you care to close? The senator has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator McGilvery that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 365, it recommend that the same be concurred in. As many are as in favor of this motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators having voted aye and 0 having voted no, House Bill 365 has been concurred in. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 476. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 476, introduced by Whitman, a bill for an act entitled NEC, generally revising commercial tow truck classification standards, increasing minimum boom and manufacturer's gross vehicle weight rating requirements, allowing a tow truck operator to continue participating with existing classified equipment until equipment is upgraded or replaced, and amending section.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 476. What is your pleasure, Senator Friedel?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we need you, when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 476 that I recommend to be concurred in.
Senator Friedel.
Mr. Chairman, this is a pretty simple bill. What it does is this was actually brought to us by the Montana Truck and Tow Trucking Association to adjust the weights of their vehicles. This hasn't been done since 1996, and what they're wanting to do is just update their current vehicles to be utilized with the current stock. The older vehicles, I know some of the questions that were asked in committee, that one specific one was, what about all the older vehicles? These are not going to be impacted. In fact, they can be sold and bought anywhere. They're not going to be having an issue. All this does is affect new stock as of the end of this year. Mr. Chairman.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Seeing no discussion, Senator, would you care to close?
Vote green.
The Senator has closed. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Friedel that when this committee does rise and report after having had under consideration House Bill 476, it recommend that the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 39 senators vote aye and 11 senators vote nay.
39 senators having voted aye and 11 having voted no, House Bill 476 has been concurred in. Members, you have before you for your consideration House Bill 302. The clerk will read the history and the title of the bill.
House Bill 302, introduced by Kazmaier, a bill for an act entitled an act requiring authorization of the Board of County Commissioners before wild buffalo or wild bison are released into a county, requiring release of wild buffalo or wild bison to meet certain conditions, amending sections, and providing an immediate effective date and an applicability date.
Are there any corrections to the history and the title of the bill as read?
None, Mr. Chairman.
The clerk will read the sections.
Sections 1 through 9.
Members of the committee, you have before you House Bill 302. What is your pleasure, Senator Lang?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 302, that I recommend be concurred in, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Lang.
Senate members, I bring you 302. This is a given authority or permission to a county elected Board of County Commissioners to talk about wild bison if they are relocated into a county.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Is there discussion on the motion? Senator O'Brien.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to speak to the bill, please. This bill, I'm going to ask you to respectfully resist this bill. We have an extensive bison management plan. These bison are wild and they're put in the public trust. This bill would allow for an extraordinary veto power, essentially, that the counties would have over the state's big picture vision and work of the bison management. So it in many ways simply disregards that concept of the public trust. It's our responsibility to view these documents and take into this consideration in a larger picture than simply county by county. We dropped down to 300 bison at the turn of the century, and there needs to be careful deliberation and discussions that take into all of the complexities of bringing back the wild bison and work with our agriculture community to ensure that that we have sound policy here. I strongly urge you to vote green here. Thank you. Vote red. I beg your pardon, Mr. Chair. Just testing y'all. It's late in the session.
Senator Gillespie.
Mr. Chair, members of the body, I enthusiastically ask for your support for this bill. The health of our livestock, we spend a lot of time and money and effort to make sure they stay healthy. As a matter of fact, I might point out that there's some whole milk out here for you to enjoy if any of you haven't, and it's safe. And that's because we take good care of things here in Montana, and this just gives us an extra set of eyes on livestock, and in this case, buffalo move around, don't precludes it. It just makes sure that they have met the same standards that our livestock have to meet up with. So very good bill. My senator friend had it right. Vote green. Thank you.
Senator Flowers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for the sponsor.
Does the sponsor yield?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chairman. Senator Flowers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator, trying to find the language here.
You need your glasses, Senator.
No, I'm good. Anyway, there's a reference in here that, it's on line 20 on the first page. The board finds the transplantation or relocation does not threaten the public health, safety, and welfare of the citizens of the county. What would, in the translocation of a bison, which they'll all be tested for brucellosis and they won't be allowed to be moved currently, under current law, if they're infected with brucellosis, then what else would rise to the level of threatening the public health, safety, and welfare of the citizens of the county?
I don't know, but beyond that sentence, if those bison are complying with this sentence, then there is no objection to their health, and they would be allowed by law, whether it be livestock law or wild fish and game law, to be translocated throughout the state.
Follow up?
Do you continue to yield?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Senator. My question then is, why do we need this? If that's already in law, that you can't move bison that are infected with brucellosis, why do we need county approval?
Just like a lot of the laws that we passed here or talked about here in the last 3 weeks or months, you want, just because someone wants something doesn't mean they have the right to force it on you. And I think county commissioners, being an elected official, have the right, they're elected by that community. And if you want something in your local community, go to the county commissioner and say, this is what we want. But in the same token, when we have meetings by government, sometimes they say, well, we're going to have a meeting in Great Falls, Montana, and it's related to a Phillips County issue, and it's during calving season or that. But the county, so that doesn't happen. The people don't go because, yes, this might be for all the more for out east, but I would challenge anybody, when you see something happening in another county, ask yourself, do I want it in my back door? And that's all we want with the county commissioners, which, if it's a good plan, they will agree to it. That's what they're there for. They're to do the citizens' work of the people. Not necessarily the citizens' work of another county, but for the county they represent.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to speak to the bill.
Okay.
The irony of, with all due respect to the senator carrying the bill, the irony of this is pretty striking, given that we've spent a good part of this session taking away local control on any number of issues, and yet on this one, because bison are bad, apparently, we're going to give that local control back. Well, from my perspective, I'm a public landowner in Valley County, and that's the CMR. And if there's going to be bison that are moved in this state, it's probably to the CMR if it goes up in that neck of the woods. And this gives the authority to local county commissioners to make decisions on whether bison should go on my public land. I'd ask you to vote no on this. Thank you.
Senator Ellsworth.
Mr. Chairman, question for the sponsor.
Does the senator yield?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Senator Ellsworth.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Lang, and I'm certainly not a rancher by any means, but I've seen bison that are captive and seen cows that are captive. And when I look at the fences that are required to, you know, keep those animals in, are they significantly different?
Yes, they are for keeping bison, and usually they should be.
So would that follow up, Mr. Chair?
Follow up?
Yes.
So with that being said, Mr. Chair, Senator Lang, I mean, should the county then be looking at these places and make sure that they actually have adequate fencing for public health and safety? I mean, wouldn't that be an important factor?
Yes, yes, Senator Ellsworth, it is very much so, and that's why we want him involved. We want the local people that are elected to partake with that, to sit down. If the FWP or whoever would want to move them in there, they should sit down with those people and say, okay, let's come to an agreement. Let's get this thing worked out, just like we do here.
Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, would the senator care to close?
Yes, I would, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Thank you for the questions. And yes, wildlife are to be a benefit for all. Some of you live in town probably and have deer eating your mom or your wife's flowers and things like that. That's a benefit. But there's also something that should be addressed. In county commissioner land, and I have not been a county commissioner, but I know that when something happens like that, those are the first people that get contacted. And they need to have some understanding of the thing, and so they can make a decision. They can need to have people to get in contact with, to talk about it, what's going on. And that's really the essence of this bill, is to let, when we want to do something, just like you build a highway, Shane Mintz over in Glendive gets all of my county commissioner 7 years before he built a project. Most of the government agencies, DNRC, they're going to do something, DEQ, they should get a hold of my county commissioners. That usually happens. That's what we're doing here. Let's be involved with the discussion. Thank you. Vote green.
The question now arises on the motion of Senator Lang that when this committee does rise and report after having had it under consideration, House Bill 302, it recommend that the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 31 senators vote aye and 19 senators vote nay.
31 senators having voted aye and 19 having voted no, House Bill 302 has been concurred in. Members of the committee, you have before you House amendments to Senate Bill 309. What is your pleasure, Senator Sayles?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 309, that it do be concurred in as amended.
Senator Sayles.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Committee, this is the bill that allows the governor to pay the fair and competitive salary that we talked about a few weeks ago to attract qualified applicants to those two positions based on their qualifications and experience. But as you can see, I neglected to strike two places on page 2, line 19 and 27, regarding the language on compensation in those titles. So this just takes care of that, strikes those two spots. I'd ask for a green light, concur with the House amendments.
Is there discussion on the amendments? Seeing no discussion, Senator Sayles, would you care to close on the House amendments to Senate Bill 309? The senator has closed. The question now rises on House amendments to Senate Bill 309. As many are as in favor of the motion, vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 47 senators vote aye and 3 senators vote nay.
little different format here, I guess. 47 senators having voted aye and 3 having voted no. House amendments to Senate Bill 309 have been concurred in. Members of the committee, you have before you House amendments to Senate Bill 106. What is your pleasure, Senator Sayles?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 106, that you do concur it in as amended.
Senator Sayles.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 106 is the vet tech bill that we heard, and again, you're going to see some amendments made out of the House that I truly think makes this a better bill. One, it does correct on page 1, line 22, just references to the correct terminology there that was needed, and then also on 26 and 27, it does strike the time frame that we were looking at in the grandfathering clause. So it still allows the hours, but there's no stipulations into the time to receive those. So these amendments do fit and were agreed to by all the stakeholders, fits the intent of the bill, and I would ask for a yes, a green light to concur with the House amendments. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is there discussion on the amendments? Seeing no discussion, Senator, would you care to close? The Senator has closed. The question now arises on House amendments to Senate Bill 106. As many are in favor of the motion, vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators having voted aye and 0 having voted no. House amendments to Senate Bill 106 have been concurred in. Members of the committee, you now have before you House amendments to Senate Bill 163. What is your pleasure, Senator Glimm?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration the House amendments to Senate Bill 163, it recommend they be concurred in.
Senator Glimm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know if you guys remember this bill, but this is we added a couple members to the Board of Water Well Drillers. And when I brought the bill, it was only 2 words, and in the Senate committee, we added 86 words. But over in the House, we had to remove 8 words, and that's because on line 18 and 19 of page 1, representing different types of water well construction, there just aren't different types of water well drillers. So we needed to remove that from the bill. Please vote green.
Is there discussion on the amendments? Seeing no discussion, Senator, would you care to close on your amendments? The Senator has closed. The question now arises on House amendments to Senate Bill 163. As many as are in favor of the motion, vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. The clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators having voted aye and 0 having voted no, House amendments to Senate Bill 163 have been concurred in. Senator Smith.
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee rise and report.
You've heard the motion of Senator Smith. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. The ayes have it.
Senate will be in order. The Secretary will read the report.
Mr. President, your committee of the whole, having had under consideration business on second reading, respectfully report as follows. Senate resolutions adopted. Senate resolutions 95. House bills concurred. House bills 188, 276, 300, 302, 365, 423, 449, 462, 476, 479, 501, 539, and House joint resolution 8. Passed for the day, House Bill 450. House amendments to Senate bills concurred. Senate bills 106, 163, 309.
Senator Brown.
Mr. President, I move adoption of the committee report.
I've heard the motion of Senator Brown that the committee of the whole report be adopted. As many are in favor, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. As every member voted, does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 44 have voted yes, 6 have voted no.
44 senators haven't voted aye, and 6 senators haven't voted no. The committee report has been adopted. Thank you, Senator Brown. Order business number 8, third reading of bills.
Mr. President, House Bill 525, introduced by Buttrey, a bill for enacting entitled general revised laws related to alcohol concession agreements.
House Bill 525, having been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor will vote yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, the Secretary record the vote.
Mr. President, 42 have voted yes, 8 have voted no.
42 members haven't voted aye, and 8 members haven't voted no. House Bill 525 has passed the Senate.
That is all, Mr. President.
Order business number 9, motions. I believe Senator Gross.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I would move to change my vote from a no to a yes on House Bill 539. If there's a supplemental fund for the Boys and Girls Club, I will donate on Monday.
Without objection, so ordered. Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd move to override the governor's veto of Senate Bill 227.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think many of you remember this bill. It's a bill that allows the legislative branch to repeal an administrative rule with a resolution. The idea behind this bill is very simple. When the executive branch writes rules, it's impossible, almost impossible, for us to then repeal the rule because we have to pass a bill. I think many of you know it's time for us to bring back a little bit more parity between the legislative branch and the executive branch. We're the branch closest to the people, and I think it's more appropriate for us to have the authority to repeal rules. And there's nothing wild about this bill. Congress has the same power. They have the power to repeal administrative rules with a resolution. So I'd ask for your support on this override motion.
Further discussion on the motion. Senator Vance.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, members of the body, I've been around here since the 2008 election cycle. And I have seen the ability of the legislature to continue to exhibit the power that it was meant to have go down and down and down. We were created as three equal branches of government in this state, and we no longer are. We need this to be passed.
Senator Cuff.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I've had a little recent experience trying to address and a change in administrative rule, an agency rule, and it's not easy. It's very difficult, and I support this very much, Mr. President.
Seeing no further discussion, Senator Fitzpatrick, would you like to close on your motion?
I would, Mr. Chair. I do appreciate the comments of Senator Vance, Senator Cuff. I think this is an important bill for the legislative branch. I'd ask for your support.
Okay, members, this takes a two-thirds vote of, I think, everybody's here present and voting. So the motion before us is to override the governor's veto of Senate Bill 227. Those in favor of the motion will signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes.
50 members haven't voted aye and 0 members haven't voted no. The motion passes. We just need to stand at ease just for a second. There's a couple bills that I need to have referred to the special committee that I appointed. So I'm going to let Secretary Miller get those just so we don't have to wait over the weekend.
President?
Senator Brown?
You know, I would make a motion to have you appoint a special delegation to pick that trophy up and take it over to the House and rub it in their face.
Senator Brown, I think that's a great idea. The problem is right now they're in second reading and they're voting on a lot of our bills, and I don't know if we want to do that or not. Maybe next week. Senator Sands.
Mr. President, I guess I'll leap up and take the opportunity while Marilyn's out of the room to talk about the memorial service. As I frequently say for all of us, one of these days we will all be on the list of legislators who will be memorialized by the people who come after us. It's a wonderful event if you haven't attended it. People you knew and loved and want to remember, people you didn't know but you learn a lot about that are really fascinating, the people who have come before us and sat in our seats and tried to do the best for the people of Montana. So that service starts at 12:30 in the House. Those of you who have a script, we have a way of pushing you through so that it runs very efficiently. It's really a wonderful event, and I hope a lot of you will come and take a chance to come to learn about the history of the place. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Sands.
And thank you to Marilyn for always being so amazing in writing these and keeping us organized. And afterwards, there's a fabulous reception by the spouses.
Thank you. Okay, the Senate will come back to order. We're under order of business number 9, motions. Majority Leader Smith, I believe you.
Mr. President, I would move to refer House Bill 188, General Revised Electric Vehicle Laws and Fees. Sponsor is Representative Logie. Refer it to Finance and Claims.
Without objection, so ordered. Go back to order business number 6, first reading and commitment of bills.
Mr. President, House Bill 686, 670, 701, 707, and 683 have been referred to committee.
Okay, we'll go to, without objection, order business number 12, announcements of committee meetings. Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. President. There'll be no business and labor on Monday.
Senator Aguirre.
Mr. President, Senate Judiciary will not meet Monday morning.
Senator Hoven.
Mr. President, Senate Tax will not meet Monday morning.
Senator Gothier.
Thank you, Mr. President. No local government Monday.
Senator Wellborn.
Thank you, Mr. President. No Senate Natural Resources today.
Senator Osmundson.
Mr. President, Senate Finance and Claims will meet Monday morning at 9 o'clock. Executive action, lots of it. Don't bring any amendments.
Senator Ellsworth.
Mr. President, 3:30. We don't have a room yet for our first joint meeting. And Mr. Chair.
Senator Kerry.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate State Administration will meet in room 335 in approximately 10 minutes for some executive action before we start hearing our four bills that we have today. And Mr. President, if I can be off and out.
Senator Kerry.
I would very much like to thank the pages this week. You guys did an awesome job with House Bill 2. You carried a lot of amendments around here. But Ashton Anderson, thank you. Taylor Springer, thank you. Addie Meredith, thank you. Rachel Visser, thank you. And Bronte Binion, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Seeing no further announcements, Majority Leader Smith.
Mr. President, I move the Senate stand adjourned until the hour of 1 p.m. on April 10th, the 69th legislative day.
I've heard the motion of Majority Leader Smith. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The Senate will reconvene at 1 p.m. on April 12th. Senate's adjourned.